What's going on, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in on this lovely weekday. Today's show is brought to you by LyricClothingStore.com. In commemoration of Black History Month, they honor the life of the great foundation of Black American hero John Horse and the Seminole Nation, and they have some custom-made t-shirts and clothing to commemorate that. That's at LyricClothingStore.com. Also, today's show is brought to you by GoodTenantReport.com. Family, you being sabotaged by your landlord. You're trying to rent somewhere, but your landlord is hating on you, saying all types of greasy stuff about you. Well, you need to get all that cleaned up off your credit report and your record and the whole nine yards. Go to GoodTenantReport.com to find out what your landlords are saying to hate on you from getting into your new spot, thinking about them projects or wherever you were. We're going to talk about this reparations bill farce that they had today. We knew it was going to be a clown show, so we're going to have to get into it, family. We're going to break this stuff down. Let everybody know that we're live, ladies and gentlemen. I need you to hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't want y'all to move a muscle, because we will be right back right here on Tariq Radio. So don't move a muscle.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get The Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Having problems finding employment, employment to provide for you and your family, family. A candle is the perfect website for you. You're one click from your opportunities, so check out a candle.
Starting a garden has never been so easy at this time. So check out myseedsnow.com. With our 100% organic heirloom non-hybridized non-GMO seeds, we want everyone to be successful at growing their own organic gardens. We have culinary herbs, wildflower seeds, vegetables, and fruit sampler packs, all starting at just 99 cents. We even have sprouts and microgreens you can grow in the comfort of your home. Come join the fun and start growing your own organic food at myseedsnow.com. Once again, that's myseedsnow.com.
Have you been gaining a lot of weight since the COVID-19 pandemic? Ladies and gentlemen, do you have a weak upper body? Ladies, do you feel insecure when a man looks at you from behind because you feel like your butt isn't round enough? If you answer yes to any of these questions, Salomon's Fitness World can help you achieve your fitness goals. Salomon offers customized online personal training, makes and sells ankle, booty, and power resistance bands to strengthen, stretch, and tone your whole body. Order your resistance bands now at SalomonsFitnessWorld.com. Enter discount code Tariq to save 15% on your bundle order. www.SalomonsFitnessWorld.com.
Check out the 3-volume book series, Kicked Out of Heaven, The Untold History of the White Races, by author Kenan Booker. This book series gives you details about the history and the mindset of European society, and it teaches you how that mindset affects us today. So go to kickedoutofheaven.com right now to get your copies of these important books. That's kickedoutofheaven.com.
Are you tired of nerdy platforms that refuses to acknowledge white supremacy and geek culture? Do you seek a black nerd podcast that covers topics like anime, video games, movies, and TV shows, and other topics that black nerds can relate to? Then you need to check out the podcast, The Swarthy Nerd, at swarthynerd.com. Join the host, the TV guru, and Yuki the Snowman every Tuesday on their mission to provide empowerment to black nerds everywhere. So that is swarthynerd.com. Swarthy is spelled S-W-A-R-T-H-Y, swarthynerd.com.
Mooncycle3.com, the one-stop shop in feminine hygiene products. These products are all natural and designed to flow with the female body. Everything you need from tampons, pads, and the amazing herbal spa treatment. We also have all natural pH-balanced feminine washes infused with golden sea moss. So go to mooncycle3.com, because wellness is revolutionary. That's M-O-O-N-C-Y-C-L, the number 3.com.
Pre-order the first chapter of Becky. Shay had it all. A producer, a protector, a lifestyle. Until the blonde butcher returned. Getting rid of the other woman isn't as easy as it sounds. The first chapter, Becky, the graphic novel, is now available. Support now. Visit our website, gogetbecky.com, and join our email list for exclusive content.
People, do you want to keep you and your home looking lit while showing that you're unapologetically black? Well, check out Black Anthem. Black Anthem is a brand new line of clothing and gifts celebrating our culture, history, and the upliftment of black people everywhere. They've got t-shirts, hoodies, tote bags, face masks, and stuff for the home. And it's all about black empowerment. To find out more, visit newblackanthem.com today.
Are you looking for a 100% natural beard product that cleans the skin under your beard and it stimulates growth? Then check out Beard Tree Oil and Herbs, LLC. They promote healthy beards over everything. They offer a full line of products, including beard and face wash, balm oil, mist, and detox. So treat yourself to the Beard Tree 3 package, which includes the wash, balm, oil for just $25. For best results, check out the Beard Tree 5 that includes all 5 products for just $50. So check this out, all at BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com. That's BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com, or follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Beard Tree Oils and Herbs.
Are you tired of that ambiguous feeling of not knowing where you stand financially? You need to check out the monthly budgeting template from Financial Anatomy. This template allows you to categorize your money, manage your investments, assets, debts, liabilities, and your financial goals. The template is laid out in a way that all you need to do is add your monthly income, and you will know immediately where you stand. For a limited time, you can get this for free. Go to realmoneysuccess.com. That's realmoneysuccess.com. Use the code Tyreek2021 at checkout and get your monthly budgeting template for free.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave a op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shark, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I said, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. Glad to have everybody tuning in on this lovely weekday. We're going to chop up game as we always do. By the way, Buck Breaking the film coming soon. That's going to be coming in a few months. We're just trying to get all the venues together. We're trying to figure out how we're going to do the premiere. But the highly anticipated movie, Buck Breaking, is definitely coming soon, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody, I need y'all to hit that thumbs up button. I need y'all to hit that like button, which is the same thing. And then I need you to subscribe if you have not subscribed already, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of stuff we're going to get into on today's broadcast. But first things first, do y'all know conservative, suspected white supremacist radio host Rush Limbaugh died today after a long bout with cancer? Now, he had cancer for a long time. I mean, his body was riddled with cancer for a long time. And this dude, he was cancer ridden for years. About how many years ago was he diagnosed with cancer? He's been diagnosed with cancer for a long time. So he suffered for a long time. He suffered from cancer for a long time. So it was a slow death. It was a real slow, drawn out death. It was a slow, drawn out death. You know, so it's very interesting that, you know, he died on Black History Month. You did? It was Black History Month when he died. But nonetheless, with Rush Limbaugh, this man made a career out of spewing anti-Black racism. This man spewed some of the most dangerous, hateful rhetoric. He was allowed access to the airwaves to help codify millions and millions of white supremacists with their anti-Black racism. He was allowed to spew all types of negative propaganda about Black people to help justify harming us. May he rest in a big vat of piss. I have no sympathy for Rush Limbaugh. This man celebrated the deaths and the disenfranchisement of Black people his whole life to the end. This dude stayed on team white supremacy to the very end. No remorse, nothing. This dude held on to his funky ass views to the end. I mean, he was one of the modern innovators of this new wave of that conservative, anti-Black coded hatred that they spew, that the Hannitys and the Tuckers and all of these guys have picked up on. He was the OG. He was the OG of all that stuff. And this dude justified the murder of Trayvon Martin. I mean, he would justify the unjust murders of Black people left and right. May he rest in piss. But anywho, other stuff going on. Speaking of suspected white supremacists, you know the white supremacist suspect woman out there in New York who was harassing the Black man, and the Black man was actually an LGBT dude. He was walking his dog. He was bird watching or something. And I think, you know, he was bird watching, and she was out there making a fake assault claim, almost as if he was trying to rape her or something. But this dude was a flaming queen. So Amy Cooper, she got a bogus little charge. And then they just dismissed the charges. They threw the charges out because they sent her to some racial sensitivity class. They made her do a racial sensitivity course and drop the charges. No hate crime charges or nothing. This woman did something that was very dangerous that could have got that dude killed. And basically, that just incentivizes more of these Karens to go out and harass unsuspecting Black people. See, we have to understand, and I want Black people to get this in your brain. See, they get task force and they get task force and they get executive orders. They get executive orders for Asians if you bump into them. If you say, I don't want to eat at the Asian restaurant because of Corona, well, that's a hate crime, and they're going to have a task force, and there's a hotline you can call, and there's all types of resources allocated to combat hate crimes against Asian people. But Black people, we get hate crimes committed against us every single day, and the people get slaps on the wrist, and we got to understand why. Family, anti-Black racism is not a crime. See, we're living by the common law of white supremacy. anti-black racism isn't a crime under the system of white supremacy. Not only is anti-black racism not a crime, anti-black racism is a requirement. The people within the dominant society, they are actually required to uphold white supremacy and have anti-black racist views. They're supposed to be on code. See, this is why they're protecting Rittenhouse, Kyle Rittenhouse, because he went out there and shot a couple of white men who were protecting black people. See, they look at those white people as being off code, and it was justified to shoot them to teach other white people a lesson to be on code. We better understand how the laws, that's just toilet paper to the white supremacists. They go by common law, which is the unwritten law, which is the unwritten rules, which is the code. See, they can write down as many laws as they want to write down, but the thing is, they understand they all have a code among each other. So they'll make a law at the drop of a hat that don't mean a damn thing. We'll make a law. We just ain't going to enforce it. We'll stay on code. That's why so many of these Capitol riot folks, they're getting slaps on the wrist. They knew. They went in there. They knew that the other white supremacists would be on code with them. They operate on unwritten codes. See, that's the key right there. You don't have to write the code down. That's why you can have plausible deniability. I'm not racist. I mean, let's look at the law. The law says equal opportunities. I didn't deny anybody opportunities. Wink, wink. Because it's already something that's supposed to be understood. See, white supremacy, anti-black racism is part of the culture. That is their culture. The white supremacist, white dominant society's culture is anti-black racism. That is their culture. White supremacists don't honor no damn law. They don't give a shit about no law. You understand? But see, they got to be very careful when they have laws that are supposed to allocate resources towards us, because if you don't honor them, we might turn up. That's what happened in the 60s. See, when they had the Civil Rights Act and the Civil Rights Bill talking about all they were going to do for Negroes, and then they didn't do it, that's when there were a lot of riots. That's why they had that, the Kerner Commission and all that stuff. They had a commission to find out, okay, why are Negroes turning up? They were turning up because the government was making all these promises and they were not honoring the promises. So they said, okay, well, shit, let's just ignore these Negroes. And that's where benign neglect came in. The benign neglect policies came in because of the riots. We can't keep promising these niggas nothing. That's why they won't say nothing about reparations, seriously about reparations. We're going to get into this farce. We're going to get into this farce of a hearing that they had for reparations. It was so silly. A lot of it I'm not going to even play. I'm just going to play small clips and just hit you with the cliff notes of what's going on. As we already knew, we knew it was going to be a clown show. Because right now, they're so disrespectful when it comes to our reparations. And this is coming from your Democrats, guys. The Republicans and the Democrats are both on board with disrespecting us, disrespecting our need for reparations. They're all on code with each other. That's why a lot of the Democrats were running around talking about all these little minute things are forms of reparations. Climate change is reparations because black people get asthma and the climate is very important to black folks. I mean, they're doing stuff like that. Family, I put up a tweet today. This is one of these tethered LGBT anchored Negroes who nobody knows who he is. He's a doctor out there in New York. And I want y'all to hear this. This is a very short clip. He was talking about vaccines. They had this on Vice, and he was talking about vaccines. Listen to this.
And think of the vaccine almost as medical reparations. It's the 40 acres and a mule, but of 2021. So we really should be giving this vaccine preferentially to people of color, I do believe.
Play it again.
You can think of the vaccine almost as medical reparations. It's the 40 acres and a mule.
Okay, so this LGBT Negro is up here talking. See, what they do, they get their Negro shills. See, you're going to see a lot of that now. You're going to see a lot of them pushing LGBT Negroes, swirling Negroes to sit up and talk about we don't need reparations or something stupid as hell should be considered reparations. So they're going to play that game.
we're going to see a lot of that. We're going to be flooded with coonery, guys, which we're getting it on the Democrat side. Now, see, we were getting it from the Republicans. Democratic coons are no different than the Republicans. And let me play an old clip. This is a clip I put up also of Dr. Claude Anderson. This is from 1996. Brother Claude Anderson told us 25 years ago these tactics they were going to use. This is a clip from Claude Anderson 25 years ago. Listen.
The other group you're going to come out against, you're going to be a lot of your black leadership in America. The black likes to come out against reparation for black folk. Okay? And I've already been told this by one of the biggest white law firms that I know have already sat across the table from me and my staff and Dr. Anderson, we're going to help you all with reparation. These are Jews now. That we'll help you all with reparations, but the problem you got to watch out for is that you're going to have all kinds of blacks coming out against you. And I said, I doubt that. And they said, no. They said, I said, how do you know that? They said, we might be white, but we're not stupid. They said, we know there are blacks in America who are paid. They're paid to come out against you all on everything you want to do to get black folk out of the ditch. We know that. And you said, if we're going to help you, you better be prepared to deal with that and give us some ways of dealing with it. And they're going to come after you a lot of ways. You're going to have a lot of blacks coming after you telling you the same thing like whites, that you don't need it, or that's counterproductive, or whites can get angry, or you're going to create racial problems in the country, anything else. See, it doesn't create a problem for anybody else to get something, only when you all.
Okay, so yeah, that's Brother Claude Anderson giving us the game 25 years ago. He knew, you know, he was already told by white people, told him that, you know, they had a whole cesspool of coons in waiting to throw a wrench or try to throw a wrench in the reparations conversation. So this is why whenever we talk about the reparations deal and they throw the coons at us, we don't take the coons seriously. We keep our eyes focused on the white supremacists who are propping up the coons. Which one of you are propping these Sambos up? That's who we want to look at. Always focus on the white supremacist suspect. Always focus on them. Now, we knew this thing would be a farce. Now, we also got to watch some of the trick bag language. Now, they had Herschel Walker. They had some brother from the NAACP, somebody from NCOBRA, a couple other people. So what they were doing, they were getting these people on there. Nobody was really talking about anything tangible. It was basically they get together. They would have half the people talk about how bad black people were treated, and then they got a few hardcore coons like Herschel Walker and Larry Elder to just be completely over the top, and they know that those are the headlines people are going to run with, and sure enough they did. Herschel Walker was one of the ones talking about we shouldn't get reparations, and as you see in the news clipping in the avatar here in the profile, that's the headline they ran with. Herschel Walker tells Congress black Americans shouldn't get reparations. No, white supremacists propped up Herschel Walker knowing that he was going to say we shouldn't get reparations so they can hide their anti-black racism behind his ass. Always keep your focus on the white supremacists. Always keep your focus on the white supremacists. Who's propping these people up? See, that's why we got to be on code about that type of thing. And Larry Elder, I mean, anytime you see Larry Elder in a serious discussion about black issues, that means the white supremacists are behind the scenes orchestrating the trick bag. They sit behind the scenes. The minute you see the regular coons, just like they had Candace Owens at the last one, when you see these folks come out, their job is to specifically talk against anything, black people getting anything. And Larry Elder, a lot of these conservative Sambos, and I mean Sambos because black people are generally conservative. I'm talking about the Sambos that just parrot anti-black talking points in order to get butter biscuits for themselves. A lot of these folks are suspected of being very moist. I want y'all to look at some of the backgrounds of these folks. There's a reason why Larry Elder's, these people ain't got no wives and no kids and stuff like that. I don't think Larry Elder has kids. This is dude, I think Larry Elder's in his 60s. You got to watch these dudes. So there's moisture on both sides. Larry Elder ain't got no wife and no kids, and he's damn near 70. Same thing with Jesse Lee. Jesse Lee said he had one kid, and you know, Jesse ain't married. And we saw what happened with Jesse a few months ago on Twitter. Somebody outed him. He was liking some gay porn or something like that. Y'all remember that? This was like a few months ago with Jesse Lee Peterson. Jesse Lee Peterson, he forgot to, I guess, log on to his Finsta account, and they saw he was liking some bussy OnlyFans or something. It was some white gay porn that Jesse Lee was liking. So, you know, you can take out of that what you want to take out of it. Yeah, he got caught with his hand in the bussy jar. You dig? Yeah, and Herschel Walker's son is, you know, we see his son cooning it up. But one thing I want y'all to know, I'm going to play a couple of clips. I'm not going to play too many because cooning, you know, it gets boring after a while. But there was one lady on here I want to really point out. This one lady, she's not even a foundational Black American. And I want y'all to catch this. See, they'll throw a whole bunch of coonery and smoke screens out there so that we can't really hear the trick bag stuff that's really being pushed in there. This one chick who's a professor of law at UCLA, her name is Miss E. Tendai Achumi, something like that. Tendai Achumi, I think that's her name. And I think she's from Zambia. She's not even a foundational Black American. She's an immigrant from Zambia. And I want you to peep what she was saying. She was, quote unquote, for reparations, but she kept saying for the transatlantic slave trade and colonialism. You see, so what they're doing, they put her in there so that if we talk about reparations and if anything comes out of it, well, we're supposed to share it with folks in the diaspora. See, this is the trick bag that they're trying to put out there on us right now. See, they're trying to throw this stuff out here to see if it sticks. So let's go through this stuff. Let's go through it. And if I could find it here, and let's start breaking some of this stuff down, guys. Hold on.
Thank you very much. Congresspersons, it's a privilege to address you today. I'm a professor of law at UCLA School of Law, where I'm a core faculty member of the Promise Institute for Human Rights and the Critical Race Studies program. And my areas of expertise include international human rights law and the global governance of racism. I'm also the United Nations Special Rapporteur on contemporary forms of racism, racial discrimination, xenophobia, and related intolerance. In this role, I'm an independent expert who's appointed to provide counsel to UN member states regarding, among other things, the meaning of their obligations under international human rights law to combat racism, racial discrimination, and to promote racial equality.
And all of those terms can mean anything. See, right there, equality, discrimination, already those, all those little empty ass terms that can mean anything.
My testimony today is drawn to a great extent from a report I presented to the United Nations General Assembly in 2019 on the urgency of reparations for racial discrimination rooted in transatlantic slavery. And
did you catch that? Okay, I want y'all to catch that because see, all the clown show is whatever. Herschel and Larry Elder, that's whatever. But these tethers, see, when they put these tethers up here, you better watch it. I want y'all to catch what she just said. Let me bring that back. Hold on.
The urgency of reparations for racial discrimination rooted in transatlantic slavery and
racial discrimination. Reparations for racial discrimination rooted in transatlantic slavery. See, watch those type of terms. Watch those types of terms right there. We're talking about racial discrimination, where a lot of folks have racial discrimination rooted in the transatlantic slave trade. See, these are trick words where they can try to latch on. See, what she's trying to do, they're trying to latch Africans who come over here. They're trying to latch them on. You see, when people start talking about something is rooted in this, that's that Yvette Carnell's trick bag shit. Well, we're descendant of slavery rooted in politics. You know, that old bullshit. When they start talking, this is rooted in that and this. Okay, you talking some trick bag weasel words, legalese. You're trying to be slick. All right, so they're trying to latch on African people and African immigrants, and really Africans in the diaspora, because they're trying to attach colonialism to slavery. Now listen.
The urgency of reparations for racial discrimination rooted in transatlantic slavery and colonialism. International law recognizes reparations as necessary for rectifying wrongful acts and providing accountability for human rights violations. Within the international legal system, reparations entail a specific framework and responses, which I describe in full in my written testimony. But briefly, within the system, reparations are defined broadly to require restitution, compensation, satisfaction, rehabilitation, and guarantees of non-repetition.
Okay.
Popular conceptions of reparations are often fairly narrow, focusing only on financial compensation. But
only focusing on financial compensation, which is what we need. We're not getting that, but let's hear.
The international system places emphasis on a more comprehensive approach, according to which financial compensation may certainly be necessary, but not sufficient.
Financial compensation may be necessary, but not sufficient. You ain't a goddamn FBA. You're not a damn FBA. How the hell are you telling us what's sufficient and what's not sufficient? See the little trick bags they're trying to do? Well, the international community says, well, the definition of reparations, no. See, they're trying to qualify her because they know she's not a foundational Black American. So she's trying to talk about the international definition of reparations. No, reparations mean give us our damn money. That's what it means. Now, we're not going to move the goalpost all around when it comes to us. We ain't doing that. No, we're not going to do that. Give us our damn paper.
According to which financial compensation may certainly be necessary, but not sufficient. Other required measures may include transforming the political, economic, and social institutions and mechanisms for disclosing truth and restoring dignity for those subject to racial subordination.
Truth, restoring truth and dignity. Man, we ain't about to have a big kumbaya fest. No. That's that truth and reconciliation. And she didn't want to say truth and reconciliation, so it's truth and dignity, because what she was really trying to say is truth and reconciliation, but that's associated with South Africa, and we see that didn't turn out to be worth a damn. See, watch these trick words. See, this is the one I was watching. See, this is the one I'm watching, the ones who act like they were for reparations. See, what they would do, they get the coons out there to talk real, real crazy, over the top crazy, and then they'll get some people to seem somewhat rational. So because they seem rational and they appear to be for reparations, you will gravitate towards what they're talking about, but they're talking about the same amount of bullshit as the coons, as the open coons. We got to watch this stuff. We got to watch it.
For disclosing truth and restoring dignity for those subject to racial subordination resulting from legacies of enslavement. Notably, general measures such as social welfare programs that benefit racially subordinated groups, including people of African descent, that are pursued in the ordinary conduct of government are not a substitute for reparations. Fulfillment of state...
People of African descent. We got to watch that. We got to watch that. This is why we should, hey, this is for foundational Black Americans. Hell, everybody's of African descent when they still, no, foundational Black Americans. We're talking about foundational Black Americans. We got to be very specific. People of African descent. Everybody is of African descent, guys. Mexicans are of African descent. Puerto Ricans are of African descent. We got to make sure the words are right. We got to make sure the words are right.
Reparative responsibilities requires tailored interventions that are rooted in acknowledgement of the underlying harm of violations these interventions seek to remedy. In the context of racial discrimination rooted in slavery, reparations address two sets of human rights. First, the historic racial injustices of slavery that remain largely unaccounted for today. And second, the contemporary racial discriminatory effects of structures of inequality and subordination that have resulted from failures to redress the racism of slavery and of colonialism.
You see how she keeps sleeping? She keeps slipping in and of colonialism. This ain't got nothing to do with no damn colonialism. Y'all got the AU over there to talk about that, and we ain't a part of that. They don't have us a part of the damn AU. If y'all want to talk about that, y'all talk about that at the damn African Union. Talk about that shit at the African Union. They were colonized over there. That ain't got nothing to do with what we got going on over here. You see, she's trying to latch on slavery, reparations, and colonialism. So whenever you hear colonialism, that means Africans too. African immigrants too, okay? Understand the code word she's using here. Colonialism means African immigrants too.
There's broad consensus in the international community that the abolition of the transatlantic slave trade and slavery in general did not terminate the racially discriminatory structures built by those practices. And the consensus is that transatlantic slavery and colonialism remain among the root causes of racism, racial discrimination, xenophobia, and related intolerance against Africans and people of African descent.
See? Family, this is why we have to stop using African American. Folks come in with the trick bag on our ass. We should have stopped using the term African American a long time ago. These tethers with the cake soap, because she's sitting here with some goddamn cake soap on her shit. She keeps slipping in. Well, us Africans and those of African descent, we, us, we, no. Ain't no we, us, we, none of that. It ain't no we, us. It ain't no, it ain't. You immigrated over here after the damn fact. So no, you shouldn't even be in this conversation linking up all this other bullshit. See, this is to put confusion in the game. This is all to put confusion in the game.
As a result, in addition to implicating individual wrongful acts in the past, reparations for slavery implicate entire legal, economic, social, and political structures that enabled slavery and which continue to sustain racial discrimination and inequality today. This means that the urgent project of providing reparations for slavery requires governments not only to fulfill remedial obligations resulting from specific historic wrongful acts, but also to transform contemporary structures of racial injustice and of inequality and discrimination that are the product of centuries of slavery. National commissions, such as those proposed by HR 40, are well positioned to tailor recommendations to the specific legal contexts which sustain racial inequality. In the United States, the history of transatlantic slavery has left an indelible mark. The continued presence of racism, racial discrimination.
Okay, she keeps using racial equality. Fuck all that. Those are empty ass words that don't mean anything. This ain't got nothing to do with no damn racial equality. These are trick words. This don't have a damn thing to do with racial equality. This is to compensate us. Racial equality is a trick ass term, guys. She keeps saying that for a reason. It's a trick term. Damn equality. We need compensation. Equality don't mean anything. That's a loose, intangible term. What is equality? Would all of us get together and stand in a room together? Is that equality? What the fuck is equality? We're talking about compensation. Compensation. I don't want to hear about no damn equality. Family, I'm letting y'all know some of the trick words we got to shut down. Whenever we start talking about our damn money, well, we all equal racial equality, racial intolerance. No. Where's my money? Because when y'all were whooping my grandparents and great-grandparents' ass, y'all weren't giving no equal ass whoopings. Y'all were giving very targeted ass whoopings, and y'all were getting targeted money and putting it in your targeted pockets. I want that money that they generated. I don't want to sit up and talk about no damn equality. This ain't about equality. This is about compensation. Where's the damn paper?
Ideologies of racial superiority and legal in U.S. legal, political, social, and economic structures underscores the interconnection between the historical wrongs of slavery and contemporary injustices. I've joined other UN experts in noting that reparations are not just useful mechanisms for fulfilling moral or political obligations, Rather, reparations for slavery are an integral part of fulfilling the international legal mandate to eliminate racial discrimination. The United States is not exempt from these responsibilities.
Yes, they are. Yes,
and
they are.
HR 40 would represent important.
Y'all ain't gonna do nothing to the U.S. The U.S. do whatever the hell they want. The UN is the United States do boy. Okay, let's stop all this. The UN is the United States do boy. All right, they do whatever the United States says. The UN ain't going to punish no damn body. The UN sees all these race soldiers slaughtering black people, and UN ain't going to do shit. Let's stop all that.
And fulfilling its obligations under international law. Reparations for racial discrimination rooted in the transatlantic slave trade.
Notice how she keeps saying transatlantic. She keeps saying that. That's for a reason, too. Look, that's supposed to include black folks in Africa, black people in the Caribbean, black people in South America, black people in Central America. She keeps saying transatlantic. We're talking about what happened with foundational black Americans. We're not talking about the transatlantic slave trade, because let's be very clear. And I told y'all before, we got to watch the language and we have to understand the history. Only 6% of the people brought over from the transatlantic slave trade were brought to North America. Only 6%, a very small percentage. Most of the black people, or many of the black people who were enslaved, were already here. There were black Aboriginal people here already. 6% came from Africa. All right? And they know this. They know this. See, this is why they'll trick your ass up. They'll keep saying transatlantic. So what we're going to do, we're going to allocate some resources for everybody who was victimized by the transatlantic slave trade. So here, niggas, here's your 6%. Spread it among yourselves. See, they'll do that on our ass while everything else is spread to everybody else. See, this is why we have to know history. This is why we have to know numbers, guys. So she keeps saying that for a reason, because she know and they know. Over in the UN, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing with this trick-ass language. We were enslaved over here, too. Many of us were already over here. We're talking about foundational black Americans specifically. No transatlantic nothing. Foundational black Americans. The horrors we had right here on this land
have proven controversial in the countries that bear the greatest responsibility for the associated violation. In cases where states have pursued reparations for slavery and colonialism, they have done so in racially discriminatory ways. Notable historical examples exist where whites who have profited and benefited for the most from chattel slavery and colonialism received monetary compensation, while non-whites in their nations were partially or wholly left without redress. The Reparations Commission proposed by H.R. 40 presents an opportunity for the United States to show international leadership on what can be achieved when sufficient political will exists to remedy historic and persisting racial injustice associated with the enslavement of people of African descent. Among the most significant
foundational black Americans
to reparations for people of African descent in the United States and elsewhere.
She keeps saying people of African descent, colonization and people of African descent. Y'all catch these trick words and we have to reject that. That's enough of her. That's enough I play of her. So I just wanted y'all to hear some of those trick bag words they try to slip in. This is why, again, us getting rid of the African-American term, that's a term that means absolutely nothing. It's a misnomer. We have not been in Africa for at least 500 years. Many of us, we've been here thousands of years. We should not be calling ourselves African-American. Genetically, we're African, but hell, everybody's genetically African if you want to look at it from that standpoint. So this is a farce. Now, Herschel Walker, guys, goodness. Just brace yourself. Herschel Walker comes out the gate cooning. I mean, he just comes right out the gate cooning. He didn't waste any time. And another thing, before he was on, there was some Japanese lady. I think she was Japanese or something. And okay. So here's Herschel Walker. Now, family, there was absolutely zero reason to have Herschel Walker on this thing. I mean, literally no reason, no sensical justification to have Herschel Walker on here talking about reparations. The only reason they had him here is because they know he's coon vetted. they know that he was going to talk down about reparations. That was literally the only reason they had him here, is to talk down. This nigga could barely articulate himself. They had to write out his coon talking points for him. He was stumbling and bumbling over his coon talking points. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Herschel Walker.
Chairman and ranking members, I thank you for this opportunity to speak on reparation, which has been spoken about many times over my lifetime, but over the past year has become a hot topic. I ask the question why. There's been many surveys show that a large percentage of black and white teens will say racism is better today than yesterday. We use black power to create white guilt. My approach is biblical. How can I ask my Heavenly Father to forgive me if I can't forgive my brother?
Okay, let me just pause. Okay. This nigga, God. I mean, he just went right to the cooning. It wasn't even a buildup. It just went right to the cooning. Ain't no, racism ain't bad no more. White peoples, how can I love my father if I don't forgive? This nigga came out the gate talking about forgiveness, loving folks. We don't need nothing. Ain't no more racism. Ain't even that bad no more. Oh, the butter biscuits were just piping hot. They were just smoking hot coming out the gate with this Sambo.
Oh, okay. I don't want to put anyone religion down, but my religion teach togetherness. Okay. Reparation teach separation. Oh. Slavery ended over 130 years ago. How can a father be asked his son to spend prison time for a crime he committed? In the case we speak of, we're researching father back in history, a history many are not taught or spoken about in school. America is the greatest country in the world to me, a melting pot of a lot of great races, a lot of great minds that have come together with different ideas and make America the greatest country in the earth, on earth.
he's cooning so hard, he can't even get the cooning out fast enough. He's tripping over his cooning. He can't get the cooning out. America is great. I love white people. Ain't no racism. This is the best place at the earth. I mean, in the earth. It is beautiful. Ain't no racism. Racism is bad. How come you can't forgive like the Lord said? And then I made a sandwich. And then I want to bless everybody. I mean, his cooning is confusing him. He's getting lost. He's trying to coon so hard. He's getting ahead of himself with the cooning, and he's tripping himself up.
Many have died trying to get into America. No one is dying trying to get out. Reparation. Where would the money come from? Does it come for all the other races except the black taxpayers? Who is black? What percentage of black must you be to receive reparation? Do you go to 23andMe or a DNA test to determine the percentage of blackness? Some American ancestors just came to this country 80 years ago. Their ancestor wasn't even here during slavery. Some black immigrants weren't here during slavery, nor their ancestors. Some states didn't even have slavery. We as black Americans have always wanted what the Constitution stated, all men, black, white, and today Latino, Asian, Italian, et cetera, should be guaranteed the alienability rights of life, freedom, and the pursuit
of happiness. What did this say? The alienability?
We as black Americans have always wanted what the Constitution stated, all men, black, white, and today Latino, Asian, Italian, et cetera, should be guarantee the alienability rights of life, freedom, and the pursuit of happiness.
God.
Years later, after slavery ended, Dr. King, I Have a Dream speech, said the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation
the Emancipation Proclamation and the inalienable rights of the people. This Sambo can't even get it out.
Years later, after slavery ended, Dr. King, I Have a Dream speech, said the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation was a great beacon of light But hundreds of years later, we're still not free because of segregation and discrimination.
And
today, I call that reparation.
What is he talking about? What is he talking about? We're free. Hold on. Let me catch what he's saying. He said something is reparation. Hold on.
I Have a Dream speech said the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation was a great beacon of light. But hundreds of years later, we're still not free because of segregation and discrimination. Today, I call that reparation.
I don't even get what this nigga is talking about no more.
I asked my mom, who is in her mid-80s, her thought on reparation. Her words, I do not believe in reparation. Who is the money going to go to? Has anyone thought about paying the families who lost someone in the Civil War who fought for their freedom?
Yeah, they got paid. White people who fought in the Civil War got paid. And I'm talking to the white people who wrote this nigga's talking points. I'm talking to you. Y'all got y'all Sambo puppet up here who can barely read. I'm talking to y'all white supremacists at these little think tanks who thought y'all were being slick by writing this bullshit for his ass. Yeah, the foundational black Americans are the ones who's going to get paid. We're going to get paid. We are going to get paid. Hold on.
Has anyone thought about paying the families who lost someone in the Civil War?
There was a white woman who was a descendant of a Civil War veteran who was getting payments up until last year. An old white woman who was still getting some damn Civil War payments. Her dad was very old when he had her, I think in the 1920s or something, and then she was old as hell and her ass was still getting a damn check.
For their freedom? Your dad and I taught you, speaking of me, to provide for you and your family through a good education and hard work. If you give a man a fish, you feed him a day. You teach him to fish, you feed him a lifetime. Reparation is only feeding you for a day. It's removing the sign of for whites only, replacing the sign for no education here. Black America is asking for a hand up, not a hand out. Another big question, who is the guilty party? Should we start at the beginning where the African American ancestors into slavery?
Okay.
Into a slave trader
where African Americans sold slaves to slave traders. He couldn't get his cooning out right. He didn't get his coon talking point out right. The African Americans didn't sell anybody, nigga. He's getting his cooning all jumbled up. No, it's the other way around, nigga. Hold on.
Question. Who is the guilty party? Should we start at the beginning where African-American sold the African-American ancestors into slavery and to a slave trader who eventually sold the African-American ancestors to slave owners? The slave owners who had no success and no luck trying to make a Native American who land they took become their slave because the Native American ran away.
Boom. See, let's stop right there for a minute. And again, this is he's jumbling. This Sambo really don't know what he's reading. All he knows is white mommy, white daddy told him to coon, so he's cooning. He doesn't really understand what he's reading. This is why I address everything to the white supremacists. There's a narrative that they tell us that the white supremacists came over here and they could not enslave the Native Americans because the Native Americans ran away and they knew the terrain so well. That's not true. Let's unpack that. I want y'all to unpack that. We are the Aboriginal people that were enslaved. Think about this. They'd say they couldn't enslave the Native American because they ran off. Family, they put the red natives, as we know, on reservations. If they can put you on a damn reservation, you think they can't put you in slavery? They put every single one of the red, and I'm specifying red because the mongoloid looking Native Americans, this is the prototype that they have made of Native Americans. They put all them on reservations very easily. When they took over, when they came over and got into the imperialism over here and took over here, Yeah, they could round everybody up. They have the weapons and the means to start rounding folks up and enslaving and putting people on reservations. They did that with the red natives and many of the aboriginals. They enslaved. That is us. We are the people that they enslaved. Let's get off this thing where they ran off. Well, the ones who ran off were the Maroons, which was us. That's what Maroons were. How do y'all think we knew where the fuck to go over here? How do you think black folks formed Maroon colonies? Let's look at some logic here when it comes to history. They always talk about all the Maroon colonies that black people had over here. We know for a fact these colonies of Maroons were black because the black Maroons were the ones fighting the white supremacists. It wasn't the Mongoloid-looking Native Americans. It was black Maroons. The black Maroons were people who were already indigenous to this land. They're trying to tell you some random African dude who was on a boat jumped off the boat and ran into a Maroon colony. How the hell did he know where to go? You're on a foreign land, but you know where to go and hide in a Maroon colony. No, we were already over here. That's why we knew about the swamps and we knew where to go because this is our land. You understand? So we got to understand the game here. Let's start putting two and two together. Hold on.
Well, they thought it was fine then to use African-American who didn't know the country, didn't know the language, didn't know the religion, and they didn't run away. So I asked, why? Reparation? Well,
okay. I mean, wait, hold on, let me see.
Slavery is because to the year 2021, still talking about reparation, not equal education, not to compare a game to a horrible period in my life, but as I fought shoulder and shoulder with my fellow football brothers of other races, I saw struggles they were encountering the same as I. And I heard them speak to their parents of problems my family were dealing with as well. If a black player would have been given something different than any other player, it would have created problems within the team, separation and division. Ezekiel 18:20, the righteousness of the right
God
shall be upon him. The son shall not suffer for the crime of the father, nor the father suffer the crime of the son, unless either father or son know beforehand the father or son was a criminal. To help any race, provide them with a good quality education and help incentivize through opportunities with responsibility.
He keeps saying good quality education and this nigga can barely fucking read. Dude, you are not the best person to tell folks about a good quality education and you're fumbling words. Every other word, you're mispronouncing the fucking words.
A
good quality education. That's what you really need. You need some good education. You need some mathematics and some arithmetic, some reading. You need the three R's, the reading, the arithmetic, and the history. Or is it history? Is it history or history? I don't know.
Which helps generations in the future. If reparation is a fee,
God,
correction for a terrible sin of slave owners, government, and others, but we punish the non-guilty party, is it not creating division, a separation with different races? I feel it continues to let us know we're still African-American rather than just American. Reparation or atonement is outside the teaching of Jesus Christ.
Oh, okay. That's enough. Okay. That's enough. That's enough for me. This cooning drains me. I don't know about y'all. Just listening to butter biscuit eating coons is very draining. Just the fact that we have big buck broken ass Sambos like this years after formal slavery is just amazing. It is just damn amazing that these big old Sambos are still running around festering in the community. And they can always find, you'd never find any person from any other group sit up and talk about how their group shouldn't get nothing. you know, that shameful Sambo gene that we have, that's something that has to be eradicated. And this is why we got to check the foreign coons, because we already got to deal with the Herschel Walkers, and the Larry Elders. We don't need more coons being imported over. Damn. And let me play a little bit of Larry Elder. And I'm not going to, Larry is, he's too draining too. All Larry does is just use all these white supremacist right wing talking points. He does a lot of deflecting. What about black on black crime? Here's Larry Elder.
Black teen unemployment fell faster than white teen unemployment. Good economic policies work. Equal rights and equal results are two very different things. And that's what I think we're getting confused about here. Everybody's entitled to equal rights, but nobody's entitled to equal results. One of the witnesses, I believe it was Mr. Shelton, referred to Africans as being torn out of their country. But according to Harvard's Henry Louis Gates, that's not how it happened at all. 90% of Africans were sold by African chieftains who conquered them in tribes, sold to European slavers and to Arab slavers. And speaking of Arab slavers, the Arab slave trade took place centuries before the European slave trade did.
Ain't got nothing to do with us. Here we go, family. Here they go with these old canned talking points. They use the same talking points. They've been using these same canned right-wing talking points for about 30, 40 years. The Arabs, they slave people, some Arab slaves, ain't got nothing to do with us. Zero to do with what we have now. That has nothing to do with our current government. The current government that we are in right now enslaved us, our current government. We are descendants of the people who were enslaved by this current government under the same constitution, under the same governance. We are entitled to compensation from this same government that our family worked to build the wealth and resources for. Talking about some ancient Arab slavery that ain't got a damn thing to do with us. Those countries aren't even around no more, where they're talking about there was slavery here and there. And that has zero to do with us. See, their job is to deflect, deflect, deflect.
Lasted longer and the death rate was much, much higher. So as we talk about who pays who, this is going to be one of the greatest generational transfers of wealth back and forth, because virtually every people on the face of the earth was involved in slavery. Europeans enslaved Europeans, Africans enslaved Africans, as mentioned. Native Americans even enslaved Native Americans, Asians enslaved Asians. In fact, white Muslim slavers took whites out of the Mediterranean. European slavers took blacks out of Africa to North America. So figuring out who owes what is going to be a hell of an achievement. Now, I've been in radio and TV for some 35 years. And during that time, I have been unsuccessful in getting some of these black leaders on my program. Al Sharpton won't come on. Jesse Jackson won't come on. Farrakhan won't come on. I will give Congressman Jackson Lee credit, because she did come on my show several years ago. You may not remember it, Congresswoman, but she did come on several years ago. And one of the leaders I was able to get on was Kwesi Mfume, who's now back in Congress. He was then the president of the NAACP, having left Congress. And I said, Mr. Mfume, as between the presence of white racism or the absence of black fathers, causes the bigger threat to the black community? Without missing a beat, he said the absence of black fathers.
Okay.
In 1918.
Okay, that's enough. And then it's deflection time. Now it's black father. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Now, when they start doing that, now they just get into these bad faith arguments where they basically just deflect over and over again. So we're talking about reparations. He's talking about, well, ain't no black fathers. Stop. Now it's bad faith time. And that's the whole shebang. That's the whole gist of this. The whole gist of it is to deflect. It's a bunch of nothing burgers. This was a farce. Family, you can always tell that it's going to be a farce when you see the lineup. Whenever it's time to talk about reparations, and then they start setting up the clown show, if they are not getting anybody who's respected among foundational black American society, it's illegitimate, it's a joke, it's a farce. This whole thing was a clown show, a complete clown show. It was disrespectful and it was a clown show, and we ain't going for it. We're going to stay on top of our game, family. And it's important for us not to get into the equality and unity game. See, we got to get off that. I've been talking about that for the last couple of broadcasts, how the concept of unity, that's overrated. They throw that to us as some form of reparations. We all just getting together and understanding each other's problems. That ain't it. Family, you know, I just got around to, and everybody hit the thumbs up button. Hit that thumbs up button, because we got a lot of folks in here. Hit that damn thumbs up button. Hit that like button and subscribe if you have not subscribed. But family, I finally got around to seeing the movie American Skin. I finally got around to seeing that movie. Our brother Nate Parker did that movie, and I like Nate Parker. Nate Parker seems like a solid dude. He follows me on the gram. I follow him on Twitter. We follow each other on Twitter. And also Dame Dash introduced me to him. They called me one day on FaceTime and we chopped it up briefly. But let me say, the American Skin movie wasn't feeling it. And I am going to give some spoilers. I'm sorry. If you don't want to hear no spoilers, I would say skip this part of the broadcast until you saw the movie. But I'm going to be real. I wasn't feeling American Skin. Let me tell you why. First of all, let me say this. The acting was superb. I'll give him that. The direction was superb. He did great directing. He's a great director. Great acting. I'll give him that. Great acting on the movie. I did not like this movie at all. I did not like it. I was with it until right in the middle, right when things were about to get heavy and I saw where the direction of it was going. I said, oh Lord, this is a cop out. Halfway in, I saw that it was a goddamn cop out. Look, first of all, what they do, and this is what I don't like. I don't like when they do these movies, and they did the same thing with Queen and Slim. They do these movies as if some brothers and sisters about to get real busy. They about to get busy and they'll show the trailer and you're like, oh damn. Oh, look like they about to turn up in this movie. And then you see the movie and it's a totally different thing. It's a bait and switch. I don't like that. That I don't like. They did that the exact same thing with Queen and Slim. When they showed Queen and Slim defending themselves from an officer, from a race soldier, and they were on the run in the trailer, you thought it was going to be some Bonnie and Clyde shit. No, it was corny and goofy. But man, this American Skin, nah. In the trailer, you saw some brothers with guns running up in the police station. I'm thinking, oh, it's about to be on some Chris Dorner type shit. Oh, let me see what's popping with this. Oh, they about to get into some Micah Johnson action. Let me see what's popping in this. Family, listen, I'm going to give some spoilers. So in the movie, Nate Parker's son, he gets killed by a race soldier. And they took a lot of stuff that's happening now. The son, they show some old footage of the son talking about, I know my rights. I got the right to do this. I got the right to do that. So they killed the son. And then the grand jury came back and said they're not going to indict the race soldier. So Nate Parker and these dudes, him and some other friends, they get together and get armed up and run up in the police station where the race soldier works. And I'm thinking they about to go and do some rah-rah shit. Nigga, they ran up in the police station talking about, okay, we're going to do a trial right now. We're going to put you on trial ourselves. I said, God, this is going to be some bullshit. When they did that, when they ran up in there with them guns and start tying up the cops and all that, all right, we're going to have a trial right now. Oh, God. So then they went and got some prisoners out, some dudes who were in jails to act as the jurors. Basically, they got the gist of it was them in the room with some police having a damn racial sensitivity course. That's all this shit was, dude. This was a fucking racial sensitivity class. Everybody was talking about how they felt about race. I feel like I'm discriminated. And the white cops, well, y'all be committing all the crimes, buddy. I'm just doing my job. Well, you better understand my pain. Oh, man, it was a racial fucking racial sensitivity course after school special. This shit was an after school special, man. I was highly disappointed in this stupid shit, dude. Man, I was so disappointed. And they had one female cop. Well, this applies to me. You know, I'm a woman and a Latina. I said, oh, God, this is all lives fucking matter. We all people of color. Unity. Get the fuck out of here. Man, no. Me and my wife were looking at each other like, oh, boo. Give me a knife. This was a damn diversity training movie, man. This was a goddamn diversity training movie. This is really the type of shit they will show at diversity training for cops or some shit. Oh man, I was disappointed. So they do all this diversity training and they found the cop quote unquote guilty. The other prisoners found him guilty. So he gets the gun, puts the gun up to the cop's head and has the cop call his wife and all that. And then he pulls the trigger and it's empty. And he's like, well, now you see how I feel. And it was basically some black moral high ground. If us black folks, we're going to take the moral high ground. Man, oh, God, I hated that shit. I hated it, man. That wasn't cool at all. You keep that bullshit, man. And Nate Parker's my nigga. I like that dude, but you can keep that shit. That was basically Nate Parker basically trying to get back in good with Hollywood after the Nat Turner movie. You know, they kind of put him on the shit list. So this looked like this was his way of trying to get back in good with the liberal agenda. Because, you know, Hollywood is very liberal. This was him trying to get his foot back in the door. And after he done basically forgave the cop who shot his son, they about to, you know, the police precinct is surrounded by police and, you know, they got to walk out. He done basically forgave the cop who shot his son. Now you see how I feel. They didn't have this big diversity training meeting. So everybody walks out. And then when he walks out, when Nate Parker walks out, they shoot him in the head and he dies. And some people were saying, well, the message is, if you, no matter what you do, you still gonna get shot. So you might as well turn up. That ain't the message. Show that then. Shit, show that. And then he gets shot. He dies. He's bleeding. And then when the movie goes off, it's that kid singing. Did y'all catch that part? That kid down there in Florida who be singing them little coon kids bop songs. He was singing some song at the end. I'm like, you know that I'm a young black man doing all that I can. Eyes no longer bound. He was singing a song at the end. They had a song by him. Did y'all notice that? At the very end of American Skin, it's that kid. What's his name? Kendron? His name is Kendron or something like that. But he was singing that song at the end. They had his little ass in there. Eyes got shot, but eyes no longer bound. American Skin. Like, what the fuck is this shit? I hated it. Oh, man, I hated that shit, dude. It was not the business. Oh, God, that was a letdown, man. That was a letdown, letdown, letdown. Oh, God. Oh, God. Anyway, man, I wasn't feeling it. I'm tired of these bait and switch movies, man. I'm tired of bait and switch ass movies. I'm good, man. I want to see some turning up. Damn all that. Oh, God. Give me a knife. Anyway, man, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Y'all have a great week, guys. I'ma holla at you on the broadcast this Sunday. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel. Y'all be good. Peace.